Welcome to Fireside Chats. I am Magla Pillay, and today we are looking at the subject of internal conversations. Fireside Chats is a series that looks at the balance between your inner and outer world. We look at the core of spirituality. We look at how spirituality impacts on one's consciousness. We look specifically as to how you as an individual relate to God, how you invite him into your life on a daily basis, whether he is just a name or a concept, or whether you are involved in a personal one-to-one relationship with the divine. So to this end, I would like to welcome Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation for 40 years. Sister Denise, very, very warm welcome to today's show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Internal conversations. Surprisingly, a lot of people don't like to admit to the fact that they talk to themselves.
Well, this is because people who talk to themselves are considered mad.
I see. Yet every single one of us does it, whether we realize it or not.
Well, there's an expression that you hear very much in the psychological community, which is called self-talk.
Yes.
And a lot of people's self-talk is very negative, or it's very draining of the mental energy. So internal conversations of a positive nature, of a nature which is sort of deep inner communion, where it's almost as if there's two of you in there. Sometimes you may discuss with yourself, sometimes it's the mind talking from one side and maybe your conscience talking on the other side. It's as if there are many different facets of your personality which need to negotiate with each other in order for you to kind of move ahead. And your spiritual life also includes self-talk of a type that is very sustaining and very deep thinking. And to think deeply about concepts, about your spirituality, about your inner life, doesn't indicate at all that there's something wrong with you or that you're mad.
Hmm.
But I think, you know, there are people who talk to themselves out loud.
Hmm.
And maybe that is what people confuse it with.
Okay, Sister Denise, how does one know whether your self-talk is normal and when is it pathological? When do you have a problem? When do you know you have a problem?
Well, there's something called obsessive compulsive thinking.
Mm.
And where you can make yourself crazy, you can make yourself totally exhausted by what if, and you know, a lot of speculation, a lot of negative thinking, and the sign of it is that you exhaust yourself, you don't get anywhere, you waste a lot of time, and your whole life becomes unproductive.
Hmm. Okay, so Sister Denise, within the self, who converses with who, what converses with what, and which one is you?
Well, all of it is you.
All of the voices in the head is you.
Well, hopefully.
Okay. Watch the spot for further details. Okay, so all of it is you. Let me ask this question this way. What are the facets within yourself that converse or that speak to you?
You know, you may have personalities within yourself. I mean, that there'll be your moral self, and then there'll be your creative self, then there'll be your wild self, and then there'll be your very disciplined self. So that you have these different modes of the self, and they can even operate almost as separate personalities, though they are part of you. And you need to line them up with each other because you want to be balanced, but you don't want to be simplistic. And your personality may be really quite complex. You know, you have your intellectual side, you have your romantic side, you have your flat side, you have your damaged side, you have your broken heart. And all of these voices are valid, and different ones of them speak. And I think when you allow all the different parts of yourself to say their piece, you can actually, you know, the kind of the real you, the deep down one, that you can say, okay, this is really the soul of me. That is, you can say, the king in this court of the different sub-personalities, you can say, who rules. But if one of your sub-personalities usurps the position of the king, that's where you get in trouble. And so I think really being in touch with yourself, the king, is why we call it Raj Yoga also. The king is the soul who will talk to the mind, talk to the intellect, talk to the sanskaras, talk to the conscience, you know. But the king is the ruler, and need to identify with this one.
What do you mean by sanskaras?
Sanskaras are the different personality traits. They are different attributes of the self that can even function as sub-personalities. And they have a voice, you know.
Hmm. Okay. Is it Denise? It is common to find the phenomena where people are plagued by dark thoughts, dark, negative, repetitive, intense thoughts that are harmful to yourself as well as harmful to others. How does one, in this, within the context of internal conversations and that king scenario that you just described, how do you manage those dark thoughts? Because I know personally of people who have committed suicide because they were of the opinion that nothing and no one could help them with such a personal malady of the mind,
mm-hmm.
which was, it was very tragic, because the person that I was thinking of just now was a teenager.
Yes. And that can be connected with all sorts of things to do with karma, karmic accounts, you know, even linkages with other souls, you know, who can plague you. And that's very unfortunate when that happens. But it happens to those who are weak, you know. You can get influenced by discarnate souls. But if you say, okay, I know who I am, I'm the king of this castle, and a dark thought will come up, and it will, then you have to say, down, you know, sit quiet, you see. It's a kind of disciplining of the mind. And for that, you have to really study what the self actually is. So very often I will say, you know, these elemental qualities of the soul, purity, power, love, bliss, and peace, they are the qualities that go together to make the actual soul. And so where the dark thoughts come from is where you're weak in some of those areas. So you have to assert that, no, I am not that. And you have to really say no to those. And you have to notice, you see, because very often a person will begin a spiritual practice, or they'll go quite far into a spiritual practice, and then these old thoughts will come up as a kind of attack or as a kind of test. And then you have to use your power of discernment to discern what's going on, that there's a test of this nature going on. And you have to immediately defend your kingdom and attack those who are attacking the integrity of your kingdom. So you have to be willing to press the button.
Yeah. So how does one know whether you are successful in managing your internal world, or whether you need a psychologist?
Well, you might need a psychologist,
yes,
but you better have a good one.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
how do you know when you need help?
You have to be able to distinguish between what's real and what's false. So you need a very good power of discernment. And you also need to assert who you are. See, what's attacking you is doubt. You see, self-doubt is a very nasty one, but you just have to be able to put a label on it and say, you know what, self, this is self-doubt, out, you know. And be very strong, very assertive, because if you're not, it can easily take over. Mm-hmm. You know, these are very subtle things. And so we have a lot of theatrics, films, a lot of the arts are about this battle between the dark forces and the forces of light. And in a way, the soul is the prize that the dark forces and the light forces are battling to gain power over. And you have to say, I am the prize and I am the light and I will destroy the darkness. And that's a position that you take, and that's a choice. You see, you have to exercise your power of choice.
Okay, Sister Denise, this brings me to my next question. In order to be able to engage in the work that you just described, most people are looking this way, and in order to do whatever you're saying, people have to be looking this way, don't
yes.
they?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so you first need to be spending time with yourself to be aware of what is going on in order to assume or reassume any form of control. But apart from the understanding alone is insufficient to manage the self. What else do you need? What other tools does one need?
You need experience. And okay. So, you know, if you embark upon a practice of spirituality and you have decades under your belt, within those decades, you're accumulating experience. And, you know, there are times when you have to face something like raw evil, which will come, you know, right up, and you have to be able to face it off. Mm. And this is why the person who is, in a sense, a spiritual warrior comes up against these things and attains victory over it from time to time. This then becomes experience, so you know when it presents itself what it is. You don't get deceived, because the thing about that which is evil or that which is dark is it presents itself as light. There is this aspect of the imposter, the one who looks like something but is really something else. So the key quality, the key power that you need is the power of discernment or discrimination.
Okay, so you need a deep level of understanding of the games that is played within. You need power. What else do you need? This seems, Sister Denise, like very hard and challenging work, because nothing that you're talking about is visible to the naked eye. This is just thoughts and feelings. And so you need a very powerful internal torch.
Yes, you do.
Okay. And what is your torch?
I think, you know, something that is very valuable is that when you're in a spiritual practice of Raj Yoga, as I am in, there are other Raj Yogis around. And you have people who are mentors, you have people who are more experienced than you, a little bit like the martial arts. You know, this is a kind of inner martial arts that if you want to become very skilled at and you want to go very far, you appreciate the mentors and the people who have gone before you, who can also share their experience and tell you to watch out for this deception and that deception, you know. So on one level you're on your own, but on another level you're really not on your own. But there are times when you are on your own, but it's a community also.
Mm. The image that comes to mind as you speak is a soldier who's taking up arms, but the fight is not an external one, it's an internal one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Sister Denise, how do you bring peace and virtues that we all love and admire, like tranquility and internal harmony and gentleness. How do you bring all of that into your life with all of this internal chaos going on? Because if most people admit it, if only to themselves, there's chaos up here.
Well, you see, your enemy is not a human being. Your enemy is a force which tries to take the form of and tries to operate through different people, different circumstances to deceive you, you see. So we can call it Maya, which means illusion. And you have to be very sharp, really, to be able to distinguish between the person and the force that's operating through the person, so that you don't get those confused. And what you are trying to neutralize is that force which attacks you either through temptation to corrupt you or through terror to scare you into submission, you see.
Okay, and so it's temptation and it's terror.
Yeah.
Okay, so giving you, your mind offers you something that you're attracted to,
yeah,
or
the
something
temptation,
that you're petrified of.
Yes, okay. These are the two ways that it comes. And so this is why you need courage, and you also need renunciation, because if you are tempted, you know, because it's pretty easy to corrupt somebody.
Okay, sorry, I have to interrupt you there. Renunciation of what? What are you giving up?
Well, you're giving up your susceptibility to be corrupted, you know, because
giving up
money,
your susceptibility to be corrupted.
Okay. Yeah, people want money, they want prestige, they want position, you know, so somebody will come along and tempt you, or this force will come along and tempt you with, oh, you can have this and you can have that and you can have the other. And you have to say, well, you know, if I go with that, then it means I'm being disloyal to myself, disloyal to my relationship with God. I'm coming under your influence. I'm being beholden to the one who tempts me. I become a slave, so don't do that. And then when that doesn't work, then who comes along? The terror people. Mm. You know, we will kill you, we will hurt you, we will this, that. So in that case, you have to have your courage.
Okay, so Sister Denise, this sounds like an enormous amount of internal work. Does one spend all day, the entire day doing this? Because this is a moment-to-moment thing. It's not a, you know, let me just try and, you know, sort out my ego and sort out my internal conversations between 7 and 8 at night. It's not an hour thing, is it? It's a...
Well, you know, you're living your life on a number of levels. One of the levels is you have a certain vigilance about this, because after all, who you are, what you are, is a person who's trying to reach that purity, that integrity, that oneness with God. On another level, you know, you have normal life like everybody else. You have different projects, different tasks, different duties. So you're doing all these things, like different musical instruments in the orchestra, and you're conducting this. And that's life. So I think, you know, your life is rich when it has a lot of these levels. And then from time to time, you have to deal with monsters, and someone wants to corrupt you, and someone wants to terrorize you or whatever. But most of the time, it's relatively, you know, quiet. And but you have to be ready for it to come any time unexpectedly.
Hmm. Okay, so Denise, how will you describe somebody who, in this context of internal conversations, is successful? What is the sign of that you are successfully managing your internal world? Your feelings, a gauge hereof, or do you have other criteria?
I think one of it is that you are agile, so that you can shift quickly.
Mental agility.
Mental and even at the level of feeling. that you can shift very easily.
So Denise, how do you gauge whether you've achieved success in the subject of internal conversations? Do you use your feeling as a yardstick, or do you use any other form of measuring? If somebody is always happy, is that a sign that they're internally successful or not?
I would think it might be a bit fake, you know. I think you need to be able to move through many kinds of feelings and emotions and so on, but with the agility of a very good acrobat, so that you're always poised, you're always balanced, you can shift with things, and that you're always true to yourself and real, and that you're not taken down by a surprise, but you can, you know, deal with it, flex with it, and stay cool. And I think you need to have a lot of humor.
Humor?
Yes, because you can't take it too seriously.
Okay.
Otherwise, you know, something wrong. Got to be light, got to be easy.
Okay. So tell me, you said when I mentioned somebody is always happy, you said that's fake. What did you mean?
Well, always happy, that's not natural. A little bit happy, a little bit this, a little bit that, you know. Otherwise it would be, I'd say, oh, something wrong.
There's a problem.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. So, Sister Denise, if one has to look at the way we normally function as human beings, okay, so you have, if you're engaged in the world outside, if you're busy raising a family, if you're busy at work, and then your dark side emerges, or the voices, the various conversations in the head pop up and cause a lot of drama whilst you're dealing with other things, how does one deal with that in that situation?
Multitasking.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you're an actor. You just have to be able to operate externally, internally, this way, that way. You know, it's a skill.
Hmm. Okay. And tell me, how do you invite God into this space?
Well, I think God would find it quite interesting to spend time with somebody who's really skilled and really using the instructions and the help that God gives. So then, you know, you're always with God, performing your role, dealing with your monsters and so on. You'd be really close to God. He would like to be there.
Hmm. Okay. There are always aspects within one's personality that even take you as an individual by surprise, okay? And say if you're going along quite fine and then you're suddenly diagnosed with a terminal illness, how do you deal, if you're internally balanced, like what you just described, how do you deal with the devastating knocks that life sends you, even though you may be spiritually balanced? Because there are things, Denise, that are extremely difficult to deal with, whether it's internal or whether it's external. How do you manage such a...
You have to take it as it comes, and you also have to detect, is it real? You know, if it's real, deal with it. If it's not real, dispense with it. You know, so checking, verifying, all of these things you do. But the thing that's going to help you is, I know that I'm immortal, you know. So even if I have to die, I'll be back, you know.
Okay, but the demons won't, it's just you.
Well, me and my demons, it's a circus.
We'll come back. Okay, you seem to be very lighthearted in your approach towards this.
Well, that's why I say the humor, the lightness is very essential, because otherwise it gets too heavy.
Okay, right. Okay, I think that's a good note on which to end the subject. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a very fascinating topic of internal conversations, and I think many of us do ourselves the injustice of not thinking about it too much. But there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Sister Denise has taken up the subject of internal conversations. She has taught us, or rather gave us some insight as to how to handle one's mind and the various aspects of the many selves that we have inside. She also described how to include God in your personal space and also how to manage your internal world in such a manner that you feel successful as an individual. And I think the best part of what I liked that was shared today is not to take any of it too seriously, because it is, after all, a game. We thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you again soon. Thank you and goodbye. Until next time. Thank you.